Let me not forget I was purged from my old sins. Help me to walk uprightly in your eyes all the days of my life, that I may serve you. Let me remember you at all times. Those words of faith, when we believe them, it is done. And the reason I know that is because God said so. I can say that, and if I have faith, that absoluteness of belief, that something is going to happen when I say it, when I say this, this is going to happen. Like, I have the power, I could have my son stand here, I say, son, when I tell you to take a step forward, take a step forward. Do you understand?
Yes.
And then I say to him, son, take a step forward. I can set up two of my kids and make it like I am God and you're the sycamine tree and you're the human and I'm going to tell you something to tell him. And I'm going to tell him to obey you. And that's how faith works. It does. You can't just, we're not given these powers just to be powerful. And to be like little wonders in the world. Though it is written, I and the children which the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders in Israel. From the Lord of hosts. Dwells in Mount Zion. Verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say to him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say to him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. That's the thing, is that turning from sin and iniquity is just what is required of us as Christians. It's no favor we do to God. It's not like God is like, oh, thanks for doing what I told you to do. Huh, boy, you made my day. Thank you for obeying me. Thank you for giving to the Lord. You know, it's just... it's your duty. Don't expect thanks. You're already receiving more than you deserve. God isn't going to thank you. Here's a funny thing is that today we thank everybody. You know, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We're such a polite society. It's to be admired. But in Jesus' day, it wasn't so. He's a servant. He's a slave. You're going to say, oh, thank you. Sit down and eat. Oh, you've been working hard out there. No, he says, get everything ready for me to eat. And get yourself ready and feed and bring me my food till I have eaten and drink. And then you can eat and drink after. Does he thank him? See, that's the way Jesus looks at servitude in the Bible. That's why, you know, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. You're obeying sin, so you're a sin servant. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Just think about that in terms of servitude. You know, this picture of service that we have in our modern life is not the same as Jesus held in his time. Service was an absolute thing. I trow not. It's Old English. It means I think not. It's probably from Anglo-Saxon. I'm not sure. You know, when you have done all these things, we got to say, we're unprofitable. We're just doing things that God has commanded us to do. And we're obtaining these by his promises. These also are gifts that we're able to work for him and serve under such a master. Because sin is a cruel master that will work us to death. But God is a master who will bring us to life, who will set us free. So I'd rather be under his ownership and serve him a while. First, I will serve him. Then, I will sit down and eat and drink. We've got to serve him in this world so that we can eat and drink with him in the next. And he will make us free and call us his sons, because we will be his beloved servants. You know, like a servant a man takes into his house, whom he loves so much, he makes him his own son. When it came to pass, verse 11, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. that faith hath made thee whole. I found it interesting that the Jesus here equates someone returning and falling at his feet, giving him thanks. He equates that with giving glory to God. Most prophets would not suffer that to be. In the book of Revelation, there are two notable examples where they fell at their feet to worship at the angel of God, and the angel of God forbid it. See thou, do it not. I am of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them that serve God. Worship God. But when men worship Jesus, there's no conflict, because Jesus, in the Christian idea, is understood to be God. He is God. He's distinct from the Father, but they are also one. And this is something that can be observed through many scriptures, and I have an article on my webpage about the nature of God. And you can look that up from my front page on the doctrine section. It's really the only paper I wrote up there, but I thought it was important enough to write something about it. So this cleansing of lepers. The one is notable. He returns. His faith has made him whole. Now the other ones, where'd they go? They disappeared. And it's been suggested some that when he was made whole, that he, if he had lost any fingers, they came back. I don't know. Is that so? Cleansing and being made whole may be one and the same thing. I don't know. I don't think it's as important as the fact that he was drawn back to Christ to give glory to God, to be thankful, to show his thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And the others, I assume, were not. He was not a man, a man who the Jews looked at down at. He was a man who had less reason to be thankful to Christ, a Jew. But you see, those who choose the better part are those who come and thank God. Now, the law said when you're cleansed of your leprosy, you go show yourself to the priest, and the priest will declare you clean. This guy didn't wait. He came back to the one who made him clean. Instead of doing as Moses commanded. And again, you see something greater than Moses is here. Something greater than the law. Someone greater in stature that was worthy that you should return to him. Why go to the priest when you can go to the God? And therefore, he chose the better part, to return to Christ, even though it was not according to the law. But remember, he's a Samaritan, and they really don't have any place in the law. But it wasn't because he was a Samaritan that he turned back. The priest may not have seen him, I don't know. But it was because he was thankful and wanted to glorify God in the man whom he had received the healing from. Verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he saith, and he said unto the disciples,